Hey, welcome to another Data Centric podcast with Steve McDowell, Matt Kimball. Hi, Matt.
Stevie, how's it going, buddy?
It's going all right. You enjoy the July 4th break?
July 4th break. What little break there was, yes. How about you?
It was all right. It was a good day or two off, but you know, but it wasn't a great vacation for a lot of people. Just ahead of July 4th holiday, what they're calling the single biggest ransomware attack happened. I think it was coordinated by some Russian-based hacker group, impacted thousands of organizations across 17 countries. You know, it seems like sometimes that we're you know, evolving into a world where everything that's connected is under continual attack. I know back in May, right, we all were aware of the Colonial Pipeline attack, and maybe didn't impact gas supplies in Austin, but we were completely out of gas here in North Carolina for almost a week. I couldn't put diesel in my tractor. It was impactful.
It's security, it should be a big concern for companies when you have ransomware as a service right up alongside infrastructure as a service and platform as a service. It is that easy for bad actors to consume and use against companies and organizations and people of all sizes.
Right. The attackers don't have to have the technical skills now, or at least it doesn't seem like it. But you and I, we're largely ignorant of this whole topic, right? Even though it's a topic we should pay attention to. So to help us think about it, today we're going to bring in an expert who thinks about this stuff every day. So Tim Liu is the CTO and co-founder of Hillstone Networks. And Hillstone has been around since, I want to say 2006, providing intelligent firewall data protection technologies. But I'll let Tim tell us about that. Tim, welcome to Data Center.
Yeah, thanks for having us. Hi, everyone. Hi, Steve. Hi, Matt.
Hey, so Tim, you're one of the co-founders of Hillstone, and cybersecurity is a very broad topic. So why don't you tell us a little bit about who Hillstone is and where you focus in kind of security stack?
Okay. Just before that, I just want to say a few words about the ransomware. I think there's some new trends in the ransomware. We used to have it for some of the biggest companies, like TSMC and some of the airlines. But I think one of the newer trends is, this ransomware attack are targeting more toward the regular companies these days, you know. And we know the big companies have fairly good IT, fairly good security. But I think some of the mid-tier companies, they may not have staffed IT and security, and they are becoming a good target. And for these ransomware hackers, they're really finding the low-hanging fruit because these companies have the money to pay, and they are not as well defended. So I think it's going to be the trend of the ransomware at least for the next year and 2 years.
Well, is it possible to protect ourselves even as a mid-tier company against the kind of coordinated attacks that we're seeing?
I think this is getting more complicated. I think it requires a more concerted effort. On the company side, obviously, you need to beef up your security. As well, I think some of the things you can do is beef up your backup, have a good backup plan, have a good response plan. And as I think on the other side, the government side, I think we need more concerted efforts between governments to catch these hackers. Today, we are not cooperating with some of the other governments to catch them. And these hackers, just like, voice phishing, they operate across the border. You know, they don't violate, this latest ransomware, they don't target Russian computers. Mm-hmm. When they see it's Russian, then they skip it. So they are avoiding, violating their local laws, but they're attacking people outside.
Sure.
I think we need more concerted efforts between the governments to cut
it. You don't vandalize your own neighborhood, right? That's what we're seeing.
Yeah.
So ransomware gets the bulk of the press, but as an enterprise or even as a mid-tier business, right, there are a number of different kinds of attacks I need to be thinking about, right? It's not just ransomware.
So maybe just a little bit about the company. So Hillstone, was in the business for over 10 years, 10, 15 years now. And we started up as a firewall company. And in the start, about 15 years ago, UTM was a big, big word at that time. And one of the biggest problem with the UTM is the performance issue. So you have like a 100, 200 megabit firewall, and you turn on the antivirus, it will, you know, drop to 5 megabits. So and also at the time, you know, multi-core processor was a new technology, and we figured that, you know, multi-core, because it's many cores, can do, you know, application processing in parallel. It's a solution to the performance problem for the UTM. So that's how the company was founded. So over the years, we stay as an infrastructure security company. We have other products now, like IPS, AWAF, ADC, etc. So infrastructures like cloud security. We have very strong cloud security suites, and also we are fairly big on AI and data intelligence. And we are one of the early adopters to use that in our NG firewall.
So I want to ask you about AI in a second, but before we go there, so you talked about data protection for kind of core data center and cloud and edge. Are there different strategies or approaches that we need to think about as we look across those three different domains? Right? Do I think about cloud differently than edge from a data protection, or is it all the same?
I think the protection, you're asking a very big question. Probably you can focus on different aspects. I think the trend is to for the security to, on the one side, moving to the edge, and the other side, moving toward the data. So from the data center side, you'll see, you know, more data-centric protections, more protection on the, you know, VM level and on the micro-segmentation, for example. And on the edge side, you will have more protection for the edge devices, authentication, authorization, things like that.
Okay.
So we can probably go into depth on, you know, one of those areas. But that's sort of the broad trend in the whole enterprise-wide security.
So if we're looking across the enterprise, right, where are you seeing the most activity happening right now? And maybe there's multiple answers to this, but where are you seeing enterprises or businesses most concerned, right? And kind of where's the heat right now in terms of data, in terms of protection, and cybersecurity, right? Is it in the cloud? Is it at the edge?
I think over the last few years, there was a shift from, basically what we called breach protection versus post-breach protection. Mm-hmm. So the enterprise these days realize that they are, they cannot make sure that they are never, hacked. So. Before this, actually, they invest very little into the post-breach side. And once a hacker get into their internal networks, they can stay there for like months or years.
Right.
And once they realize that the post-breach is more important, they actually invest more on response, on mitigation. And I think that's a big trend over the last couple of years. And for the last year, there's a major trend of the distributed workforce. How to deal with security for the, actually tens of thousands of employees working at home. You can link those into edge computing as well, because just like edge, the IoT edge, these are like new kinds of edge, except they just use their own, laptops and, iPads. So, yeah. So I think this new trend, actually speed up the transformation of the security infrastructure. So we talk, hear about, a lot about SASE these days, about security access service. So what the core of it is actually to move the security into the cloud. Because of the distributed nature of all these endpoints, there's no single point to enforce the security. So the security service needs to be aggregated into the cloud. And when edge getting to this infrastructure, you need to get authenticated, get into you know, authorization, and then you can enjoy the security service that, that the company provides. So that sort of, I think a lot of the, both the customer and the vendor are invest a lot in this direction for the last year and a half.
Okay. So let me unpack that question a little bit. Again, I don't know a lot about this topic, so I'm going to ask some very basic questions sometimes. Right? If I'm moving my security services into the cloud, how does that impact something like a firewall, right? There's still a need for a discrete firewall, or is there?
Yes. So in security, we talked about layered defense. So layered defense meaning that there's no like one solution that defends all of your enterprise. So you still need firewalls to defend your sort of quote-unquote physical network infrastructure, like your headquarters, like your data centers. In terms of its north-south traffic, meaning in and out of that boundary. So with the cloud, we were increasingly talking about micro-segmentation, which, you know, which is more like east-west traffic in between the virtual machines. Mm-hmm. And with the edge, you basically you need something that authorize you, identify you, and make sure you're all right before you are letting to the infrastructure. So there's several components of the new security infrastructure, and where firewall is just one. It's the enforcement point, you can think of it that way. Even in the SASE architecture, once an endpoint gets authorized, there will be security policy pushed to the firewall. So the enforcement point is still the firewall that either let you access something or not let you access something. So it's an enforcement point.
So are you, Tim, when you talk about this, are you talking about like identity management and access management and, you know, giving, you know, privileged access for certain functions but not other functions? And are you talking about that from a human perspective as well as an application and external kind of device perspective as well?
Yes. So essentially, before in the old infrastructure, all the configuration are fixed. So you have a set of static policy on the firewall, right? Either let you access something or not let you access something. So the new infrastructure is the endpoint have to be identified and authenticated and authorized. And those information can then be pushed towards the enforcement device. And the enforcement device can then do the proper enforcement. Policy enforcement. Yeah.
So let me ask you a different way. So you're talking about actual devices that reside on the network or want to connect to the network, right? I mean, physical devices, not necessarily applications or partner, you know, API calls or something like that. You're talking about physical devices.
Yeah, the edge device can be, you know, devices. Yes.
Okay. Now, on those devices, you know, a lot of times there's software that runs and data that has to be shared back to the core, up to the cloud, or data they want to maybe insert into a database or maybe read from a database, right? So that's like, that goes beyond just identifying the device. That's granting access to the applications on that device. Does Hillstone play in that space as well, or do you rely on your partnerships for that?
So we today the enforcement device already have functionalities like application control, application identification. So that's usually part of the existing capabilities of the enforcement points. Okay. So from endpoint point of view, it basically depend on the edge scenario you're talking about. If you're talking about remote workforce, they are still basically Android, iPhone, Apple, Linux, Windows, those select a few. But if you're talking about a generic IoT device, there's just too many types. That's a big challenge of the, generic IoT computer security today, I think.
Yeah. I'm thinking about from the perspective of, say, for example, a smart city where I have tens of thousands of video cameras, right? And maybe there's some image recognition that's required, or that some image recognition, facial recognition I want to employ or deploy, right? That's going to require what's sitting out on the edge to either have something stored locally, but even if it's stored locally, you're still pulling data from somewhere to compare against, and kind of managing the access level that those, you know, those smart city applications or workloads might have into the greater network, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, from the IoT side, the big challenge is the type of endpoints. And, you know, where we're today, we have, you know, only a few, you know, phone types and only a few laptop types. But for IoT, it's going to be, you know, hundreds, thousands. And different devices require different kind of security. From Hillstone point of view, we are, you know, commercial company. So we basically focus on some of the mature markets. But for example, the camera network you just mentioned, we do have a solution specifically for the camera, you know, networks. So we integrate with some of the camera vendors on their management console, in order to do, you know, device identification, first of all, and then, you know, network access for those endpoints. So I think it's, we don't have a generic IoT solution. You know, even though we have device identification capability in the firewall, but it's not a you know specific IoT security.
But a robust security strategy would have a firewall sitting between what's on the edge and the IoT devices and the rest of my network and my data, right?
Yes, yes. So we're building you know a device identification, you know, for the edge devices. Different kind of edge devices, and it will help you a little bit on, you know, sort of because all those edge devices will have the properties that come and go fairly rapidly, and you have to have a you know sort of a, what they call asset discovery phase, in addition to the you know just the policy enforcement.
Got it. Hey, so I want to circle back to something you said earlier, which kind of piqued my interest, which is you're using AI and intelligent models as part of your solution. What are you doing there? And you know, talk to us about what that means. How are you leveraging AI in your solution?
So I think all the security vendors talk about AI these days, and different people are using it differently. So we actually come from a network traffic analysis angle in the start. So we, in 2013, around 2013, 2014, we released an intelligent NG firewall, which has a firewall inside and also beside it, inside the device, has an AI component, additional computing platform that's looking at the traffic going through the firewall and identify anomalies and attacks. So the thing we are doing there is basically detection. So we have two detection engines. One is we call it anomaly detection. Since you put the firewall usually in the at the border to protect your enterprise or in front of your server, so we actually do baseline profile of the traffic going through the border or from the firmware to the server. And basically flag you when the actual traffic is deviates from those baselines. So that's anomaly detection. So we have another engine called advanced threat detection, advanced malware detection. So what it does is we see you know millions of malware samples now, and we actually run them in the sandbox to see what their network behavior is. Even though there are millions of malware samples, the actual malware family is only a few thousand. There are a lot of variants to each malware. So what we do is we look at the network traffic and we use you know the machine learning's categorization algorithms to basically categorize these malware into these thousands of families. And we after we train the engine, we download it to the firewall. And the firewall can monitor the traffic, and if it sees traffic that falls into one of those categories, it will flag you on, you know, whether a particular device maybe, you know, have this malware. So that's the sort of advanced malware detection. So lately, so that's what I was talking about is basically traffic analysis. So we have this traffic analysis product. Mm-hmm. And it's a sort of look at the traffic at a single point. And lately we're building a data analytical platform that's capable of looking at data across your enterprise, be able to correlate security events, you know, from different devices. And, you know, one of the problem today there is that basically you have, if you are a network, security administrator, you're looking at tens of thousands of security events per day. And, it's very hard to actually respond to each one of them. So, after we do correlation, we can actually give you risk level on the servers or, your hosts inside your network. Say, this is, exhibit a lot of, you know, malware behavior and it's of high risk. And it basically narrows down your security events into maybe a dozen, you know, risk points, you know, risk servers that you have in your mm-hmm. network. And basically the security administrator can come in during the day and say, you know, oh, these are the hot points, are hot issues I need to solve. I think that's sort of the direction that you know, we are doing, and a few other vendors also doing. Yeah.
As we kind of drive to a close, right? So, what do you see on the horizon? What are you where are you focused? If you look out over the next, say, 18 months to 3 years,
So I think the this pandemic is changing the direction of a lot of the vendors. I think the edge computing, the SASE architecture is the area a lot of the vendors are investing right now. I think that's going to be hot for the next, you know, couple of years. I think AI is continued to be, important because it's a new technology and we know that what AI can do, and it can be applied to a lot of areas. You know, we, aside from the couple of engines I talked about, you know, we also have, you know, AI engines inside the system to actually detect, you know, machine generated domains used by hackers. So there's many areas that you can use those technologies. So I think that's also a direction, even though it may not be visible from the customer side, from the vendor side, from the technology side, is also going to be very important.
Hey, Tim, can I ask you one final question? And it's tied to what Steve is asking about kind of where you see things going. You look at the security market in general, right? There's network security, there's infrastructure security, there's application security, device security, and, you know, and there's so many different layers to security, and there's so many different players in the market. And a lot of the folks we speak to on the IT side, you know, they have dozens of solutions that they deploy, and they're all, you know, none of them are that easy to use or to manage. Do you see a point where all of these players and all of these different markets start to converge into one? And, you know, there becomes a central control plane, if you will, by which you can manage your entire, you talk about the SASE stuff. Is that kind of where you see the world going? You have one control plane that manages my entire threat landscape, all my attack vectors, potential, all my attack surfaces, so on and so forth.
I see SASE more as architecture to unify the IoTs and the remote workforces. I think specifically for data centers, you still need very specialized solutions. I'll take an analogy on, you know, home security. You know, you need your, you know, doors, you need your security cameras, and for your money and your, you know, things like valuable, you still need safes. So, it's not like that. I don't think there will be like one solution that will solve all your problem. I think you need some architecture to, you know, to basically have a secure your infrastructure, for example, and have specific application security to secure your applications, and maybe some you know, safes to actually secure your data, sensitive data. So I think that should be the strategy that most of the company will be using, especially have a sort of a a large architecture that be able to address most of the points, you know, give you a baseline of security, but specifically identify the important assets that you need to protect and have solutions to target those, protect those assets.
Yeah, I think I hear what you're saying. This is maybe a product idea for you too. There's always going to be, you know, depth of defense solutions that have to be deployed, right? Whether it's at the application level, the device level, so on and so forth.
Exactly.
Where I'm going is that one central, if you think about it from a, like a network management perspective, right? Having that one centralized platform by which you can gain access into that depth of defense solution for applications versus infrastructure versus the edge, that one control plane from which you can get anywhere and have a centralized view and have an openness mm-hmm. interfaces to enable all that to happen. Because right now, you know, you've got so many different, there are so many different ways to and solutions out there for security management that it becomes overwhelming to IT, and they end up not using any of these solutions to their full capability because there's just so much to do, right? AI helps them, but also centralizing the interface or the kind of the control of all these solutions from one point could be very interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's sort of a good idea, but in reality, I think it's going to be very hard. Personally, the security vendors are not very good at cooperating with each other, as from a history perspective. Today's Cisco doesn't work with Palo Alto's, you know, device and vice versa. So I think it will require some more drastic shift of landscape in order to have that happen, in my opinion.
Yeah, 100% on that. Yes.
Just to kind of bring this home, is there anything that we didn't touch on? I mean, this is a very deep topic, right, and broad. Right? We could go a lot of different directions, and I wish we had more time. But is there anything we didn't touch on that you wish we'd have brought up that you think is important for our listeners?
I think, you know, it's very nice for us to be on this podcast, and I think we talked about, you know, a lot of the computing, et cetera. So I think we touch base on most of them. Yeah.
Excellent. Well, again, thanks for joining us. And Matt, I think this wraps up another podcast.
Another great day. We have to have Tim and folks like Tim on more often because, you know, along with Edge, security is something every single IT person talks about every day, and they wake up thinking about it every day. So.
Right, and there's so many different elements of data protection as a whole, right? And certainly, you know, kind of threat analysis and how I protect.
And with this ransomware, I think it's touching a lot of people's pockets as well.
Oh, for sure. For sure, right? So it's something we all think about, but none of us understand to the level that we should. So this was good. And Tim, we'll have you on again, right, to talk about these things. All right. So, Matt, I'm going to say goodbye. We'll see you next time.
Thank you. Okay.